Hello all. Today we are going to hear a pre-recorded interview with Andrea Batista Schlesinger, a partner with HR&A. HR&A Advisors is an industry-leading consulting firm providing services in real estate, economic development, and program design and implementation. Andrea wrote a compelling article titled, Why Communities Must Pay Attention to the Shape of the Recovery Now. First, Andrea is going to talk about her work at HR&A and how economic development can be making cities more equitable.
I came to this firm that works with cities and specifically works for the last 40 years with cities on issues of economic development. My goal has been, how do we take the means of economic development and enable other communities to learn that game and to change the outcomes so that the way we think about cities isn't, let's boost the downtown and then figure out, how to send some service money over to the neighborhoods that remain cut off and underserved or overserved, depending on whether you're talking about, services or policing. How do we take that tool and flip that game so that, the power of economic development is to make more equitable cities. And, I use the definition of an equitable city that the Government Alliance on Racial Equity does, which is a city is equitable when who you are, your identity, doesn't determine how you fare. It doesn't determine your outcomes. It doesn't determine how you feel. So that's the work that I'm trying to do city by city, project by project.
In this next segment, Andrea discusses how cities can recover from disasters and crises in a just and equitable way.
Yeah, so, my firm and people in the firm, because we worked with cities, of course, we've had to, grapple with the questions of how do cities recover from crises and how do cities recover from disasters. And, the firm has built up a lot of expertise in thinking through what resilient recoveries could be after disasters. And, we've been thinking about, obviously, and you were just talking about this, COVID-19 is a pandemic, but it reveals the pandemic underneath. We have been thinking about what would a just and resilient recovery be? Not, how do you get back to normal or how do you speed through the recovery process so that everything is like it was, but how do you recover in a way so that you're thinking about equity, you're thinking about, disparate impacts on communities. And, so we've been working with cities already to try to think through, what a recovery would mean if just and resilience was your goal. We've also been working on issues very much related to the conversation you were just having about, okay, so who are the populations that are the most invisible in this quote-unquote recovery? How do we work with cities to make sure that they're paying attention not just to, decarcerating people, but then where do those people go? And this is a very live question, as right now, as people are being dropped off on a bridge, with no IDs and no plan for housing. And so it's not enough just to say we're doing compassionate relief. So we're also trying to help people who care about cities think about who are those and put attention on who are the populations that are not being seen right now.
Next, Andrea discusses her article titled, Why Communities Must Pay Attention to the Shape of Recovery.
Money is going to flow. Billions of dollars are going to flow to states, to counties, to cities, to recover. And the point that I wanted to make in this piece is that for people for whom equitable cities are, our goal, our business, a lot of us are in caretaking mode of communities and of people who are being most, disproportionately harmed by what's happening with COVID-19. At the same time, though, decisions are being made right now, and they've already been made, about where this money is going to flow, what cities are going to look like when it's over. Some of them are big decisions, where do billions of dollars go, what projects will be invested in order to kind of catalyze the economy. But some of them are small decisions, like which stores will get to reopen first, which stores will get the plexiglass that will enable them to recover. But embedded in these small decisions and in these big decisions are value judgments about what's most important. And the call that I was trying to make to the piece was those decisions aren't neutral, and we've got to shape them. So, yes, we have to take care of the people and the communities that are suffering now. And, yes, we need to organize to win protections at the legislative level. But also there are people, you know, in offices who work in economic development positions whose names you don't know, for agencies whose names you don't recognize, but who are going to have everything to do with what our cities look like when this is over. And we need to be paying attention.
Next, Andrea discusses the questions we need to ask to keep our leaders accountable during and after the recovery.
What do we do? I mean, first, yes, you should interview me, but you should also interview next week. Ask somebody from EDC, from the Economic Development Corporation, to come in and ask what their vision is for how they're going to spend CDBG dollars. Ask somebody from the state. Now, I'm using that as an illustration. I'm not actually telling you your business. But what I'm saying is we need to be paying attention and asking questions of those people, not just the mayor and the governor, but of those people who are going to be in positions in which, you know, their decisions will have profound influence on what happens next. So I'm using this as an illustration of, like, you know, we should put those people on the mic to answer to what decisions, what are the metrics you're making? Like, what are the metrics you're using in order to decide which neighborhood gets this and which neighborhood gets that? How are you deciding which projects you're going to put forward to the federal government when you ask to HUD, when you ask for CDBG dollars to catalyze the economy? By what means are you measuring what will be the best use of funds for the city? We need to ask those questions each and every time we have an opportunity to. The piece is also saying to philanthropies, and I used to work at one, you know, you're going to put a lot of money out there to take care of people because, and that's important. It's important to feed people who are hungry right now. Like that, I don't want to seem like that is not valuable because it is. But my piece is also saying to philanthropies that have a lot of money and that care about justice, you need to give money right now to organizations that are working specifically on this question of how to influence the recovery. In other words, you need to put money on not just caring in the immediate, but investing in leaders and in community organizations to organize around the recovery and where that money is being spent and how those policies will be made. So philanthropies are also an audience for this. You know, to say it feels good to give money to the food bank. And that's, you just talked about hunger. That's important, important work. Mm-hmm. And it feels less good to give money, you know, to a think tank, you know, to be analyzing this stuff. But you know what? The organizers need that analysis. You know, we're doing a project right now for activists in Pittsburgh to analyze the recovery money that's flowing through Pennsylvania and Pittsburgh so that they can organize more effectively their demands. And that's not like, you know, glamorous work to look at every funding stream, but now they're going to be able to say, I want this money and that money, and here's where it's coming from. So you can't tell me we don't have the money, because here's the funding sources.
And that concludes the interview with Andrea Batista Schlesinger, which was originally recorded on May 16th on WBAI's program On the Count. To read Andrea's article, go to www.HRAadvisors.com. That's all one word, HRAadvisors.com/shape-of-recovery. And this is Michelle Masurgeon for the Upstate Housing Program.